Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 14th day of March, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the heresy of Christian pacifism. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru am Byth. Callers will be welcome later in the broadcast. If you do decide to contact us, please remember to keep the language appropriate and to be courteous to other callers on the line. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody joining the call is automatically muted until you signify you wish to speak, which is by using *6 on a phone, or if you're on your computer, you click on the Ask Question button. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do want to remind you that the Daily Mail page is updated frequently, so you might want to check that from time to time. Bookmark the website. There's also other references there for weapons, ammunition, references on health, references for studying the identity message, etc. And again, we do encourage that. Before we get into the meat of the topic for today's meeting, a scripture verse here, one of several we're going to be talking about during the program, but here in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 5, yes, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence. In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in knowledge, self-control. And in self-control, perseverance. And in perseverance, godliness. And in godliness, brotherly affection. And in brotherly affection, love. Now let me stop here for a minute. In the Greek language, this is agape love, okay, which is a much more general term for affection or admiration, respect for your brethren. It has nothing to do with eroticism, as the English word love sometimes can talk about. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to not be idle or unfruitful in the truth or knowledge of our Lord Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Got a note here also that was just sent this morning from a listener in Iceland. And it says, hello, friends. We have had a lot of earthquakes in southwest Iceland near the capital since the 24th of February. I know of people who flee from their homes during the weekend. People have to fasten statues and all that move. Everyone is expecting a volcanic eruption. Yahweh bless. So, again, that's a brother and his family that live in Iceland reporting that there is a uptick in the amount of earthquake activity there. So they're expecting volcanic activity. That can be true of many places around the world as we get caught up in all the politics and kabuki theater with all these morons that we call political leaders. We forget that there's other things going on in the world. So, in the Greek text, it tells us that there would be a great shaking in the heavens and the earth. And if you get into a word study on all that, you'll find out it's talking about more than just earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes. It's talking about upheaval in the geopolitical realm. And you can certainly see that happening right now. Now, the topic, I'm kind of jumping around here because, again, I'm got a lot of things going on at one time. I do want to remind you there will be no co-host from now on, so the chat box is not going to be monitored most of the time. So sometimes people think I see that if they put it in there to me. I don't see it unless I go to the chat box, and I'm not doing that except on occasional pauses I'll take to check that. So again, if you're chatting back and forth, I'm not going to witness it. So either call in or send me a text on my phone or send me an email, but don't expect me to see the chat all the time. Now, the topic, again, Christian pacifism, which many people like Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and quite a few others, especially in the identity circles, have been telling people for many years that the modern-day church teachings of Christian pacifism are actually counter to the words of Christ and the prophets. The scriptures, if you read the entire book, the scriptures are very, very plain that if you love your family and your loved ones, then violence is not only allowed, it is called for. Every civilization has practiced that. You can't love your family if you're not willing to defend them. If you're not willing to be violent in the defense of the innocent, then you're not worthy of God. So the modern-day church world is actually doing the work of the Baal priests in that they are getting the sheep to conform to the status quo of the politicians. So most of these so-called preachers behind pulpits are actually demons. They're like the Baal priests in the days of Jezebel and the rulers of ancient Israel that were actually enemies of the people, doing the work of the Antichrist. Now, I'm not going to take credit for a lot of what we're going to talk about on this subject because I listened to a one-hour-long presentation by Dr. Matthew Johnson, and he did a phenomenal job, I think, in a 60-minute presentation of the heresy of the whole concept of pacifism amongst believers. So I'm going to just touch on some of the highlights of what he put forth. I have a link on my website on the Daily Mail page to the broadcast that he did. He did that over Radio Albion, and Albion is A-L-B-I-O-N. So you can go to their website, which is www.radioalbion, that's all together, radioalbion.com. And they made this address on March 10th, 2021. So it's a recent broadcast. But again, I don't want to steal his thunder because he put the work into it. He's got a lot of scriptural references in it, a lot of common sense things, both historical context and biblical context. But it basically just destroys the whole notion that as a, quote, Christian or believer in the Christ, that we are to be pacifist. And just the opposite is true. It is very clear from Scripture, and it's very clear from historical documentation that that's just heresy, meaning it goes against the doctrine, the true doctrine of the church. Church being the assembly of the saints, that's what we are, comes from the Greek word ecclesia, the called out ones, that's what we were called, not churchgoers, not even Christians. The term Christian from Christianos, is not even in Scripture, by the way. The word in Greek is Christianos. Christianos was a term used by the people that disliked Christ and disliked his followers. So the heresies, the heretics, the pagans, the Jews, etc. of that day called them Christianos. And it was not a term of affection, it was a term of derision towards the believers in the Christ. So the very word Christian is really not even ours. Our detractors, our enemies came up with that term. So I like to call us just identity believers, or just believers, followers of the way, followers of Christ, etc. Because I don't personally want to be tied in with the modern day Christian church. It's heresy. Just about everything they teach is heresy. Now, during his 1 hour message, it was at the 22 minute mark. If you don't want to listen to the whole thing, you might go to the 22 minute mark where he talks about how this identity message has opened up people's eyes to the truth of the whole scriptures, because unlike the modern day church that wants to stay in the New Testament continually, and most of the New Testament is the writings of one man, Paul, who is suspect, as far as I'm concerned anyway, in a lot of his writings, just as the Apostle Peter found objections to much of what Paul said and wrote. So, again, we have controversy about that, and yet the modern-day church, especially through the Catholic portion of it, they stay almost specifically in the writings of Paul within the writings of the New Testament. And they twist what he writes often to fit with the modern doctrines, which, again, are antithetical to the teachings of Messiah, because they want us to be pacifists, and they even teach that it's our duty to God to obey the civil authorities. Well, that's just not true. Ralph says here that Tolstoy was a philosopher of this heresy. That's right. Tolstoy is often quoted in school. I remember that. They tried to glorify Tolstoy, and he is one of the pushers of this whole heresy that to be Christian and to be Christ-like means you're to be a wimp and a pussy and a cuck. Okay, well, real men don't fit that description at all. Real believers don't fit that description. We got a lot of fake ones. Remember, he said that there would be those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. So we got a lot of people walking around call themselves believers or Christians when really they're not. Churches are full of them. They're there for show. They're there for interaction. They think they'll get a job. They'll think they'll find a girlfriend or a wife or a boyfriend or a husband. They're there because they feel some kind of need to appear to be godly for every reason except true belief in our Heavenly Father and the work of Yahshua when he walked this earth in sandals. So again, we have a lot of heresy in the modern day teachings, and probably the most damning, the most destructive to the white race is this heresy of Christian pacifism. So again, the Orthodox nationalist, if you go to my Daily Mail page, it's listed under this title, The Orthodox Nationalist Confronting the Heresy of Christian Pacifism, and the link again is to Radio Albion, and you can listen to that 1 hour lecture by Dr. Matthew Johnson. And I'm going to say a shout out here, being his last name is Johnson, he's from the same family as my family roots go back, because our surnames all come from the same Hebrew root, Yochanan, which means beloved or favored of Yah, or Yahweh. So my cousin, my relative, whatever, here did a really, really great job explaining this heresy and how it is damaging to us. And in that it's damaging to the white race, it's damaging to the world. Because remember, Adam, the first white man put upon the earth, was put here to keep the garden, which means to maintain order. Okay, if you let the weeds take over a garden, it doesn't look very nice and it doesn't become very functional, does it? Well, this earth is a garden. It is a protected area, which is what the word garden means. So a protected area that Adam was put here to administer Yahweh's law, and we have completely acquiesced in that duty, and now the inmates are running the asylum, and all hell has broken loose. And one of the ways they did that, of course, is through the Catholic Church and the daughters of the Great Whore, which is the denominational churches, pushing this same heresy that Christ was somehow hippie-like, effeminate, just loved everybody, never got violent, never said a bad word, etc., which is complete lunacy. He was a man. He was in a flesh body. And we're going to get more into that as I've just obtained some excellent books on different scriptural writings that have been hidden from the mainstream. And they go into this aspect of Messiah quite at length, especially his relationship to Miriam. You people know her as Mary in the Bible, Mary Magdalene, but it was actually Miriam. If you go to the Greek text, it's pretty damn obvious that her name was Miriam and not Mary. But again, the Catholic Church takes it upon themselves to rewrite scripture any way they want. And over the years, that's been pretty much standard that it's Mary, when in fact it was Miriam. So again, he explains that loving our enemies, what it actually means, and we've talked about that on this program, loving your enemies. First, the word love here is totally inappropriate in the Greek language. It's talking about brotherly love, agape love, not eros. And it's towards your brethren who have committed an offense against you. That's your enemy. It's not talking about the Chinese. It's not talking about the Israelis, both of whom are our enemies, have always been our enemies. Israelis are the greatest enemy of all mankind, and they have taken over control by using the Communist Party of China to control the Chinese as well. And so they are our greatest enemies. So when it says here, love your enemies in Scripture, as Dr. Johnson points out, it's not talking about foreign enemies that would invade you and possibly murder your family and murder you. It's talking about enemies within the brotherhood, okay? As our last program, you can see at times we have contention amongst our brethren. And when that happens, the scripture tells us that's when we should turn a cheek to our brother or forgive 70 times 7. And we don't do that very often. We don't do that very often. I wonder how many people, by the way, remembered that the clocks went ahead, sprang ahead. See, that's another lunacy thing today, is why we have daylight savings time. I'll never understand how ridiculous. But this also shows that we get trapped up in the tradition of our elders. The reason for daylight savings time was back when we were an agricultural society. Many of the young boys and girls that were of school age helped their families do farming. And that's why it's called daylight savings time. By pushing the clock ahead, it gave them an extra hour of daylight, because before all the artificial lighting was prominent everywhere, the sunshine was how farmers, they were up with the morning sun and they went to bed when the sun went down. So having that sunshine, an extra hour of sunshine, allowed the children to participate and help the dad on the farm. So therefore, daylight savings time during the summer, during the planting, cultivating, and harvest time. That time is gone. There's absolutely nothing to justify putting everybody through, changing their clocks, getting readjusted to a different time today. There's just no justification for it whatsoever. But we continue to do it, just as in this heresy of Christian pacifism foisted on us by the Catholic Church predominantly, and the horrors of the Catholic Church, which is your mainstream denominations that sprang from the Catholic Church. This same heresy is pushed and continues as a tradition of the elders. When Messiah walked the earth, he condemned the tradition of the elders. The Talmud, used by the people that call themselves Jews today, that Talmud is nothing but tradition of elders, from front cover to back cover. The whole entire book is tradition of the elders. It may make references to prophets and the, quote, Torah, which is our book, okay, but that's not what they practice. They may make a reference to it. What they practice is the interpretation and commentary of rabbis over the centuries. And the rabbis, of course, interpret it whatever helps the Jewish people out in their rape and murder and theft that they commit all across the earth, such as the Talmudic teaching that a child is not a child until it exits the mother's womb. In other words, abortion is a Talmudic principle because it's saying that it's not really a child, a living being, until it exits the mother's womb. That's a Talmudic teaching. It's not a belief of ours because the scriptures make it quite clear that upon conception, our Heavenly Father has made you a very special and unique individual. Okay, from the moment you are conceived in the womb of the mother, it's a sacred thing. The Talmudic teachings of these Antichrist Jews, of course, teaches just the opposite. That's why, as the Jews have risen in influence and power in the United States, we have adopted Judaic Talmudism over the teachings of Christ. And yet we call ourselves a Christian nation. We tout that we have more Bibles and churches than ever before in history, and yet we are further from the teachings of the real Messiah than we've ever been. So let that sink in. And this is just one example of that, where we murder children and say it's okay because of the Talmudic teaching. Just as the porn industry and the drug industry and the prostitution industries flourish, and they were all started and maintained by organized crime of Jewish persuasion. Because in their eyes, that's all we are, is animals to be used at their leisure and pleasure. And so putting our women and our boys through teenage prostitution and sex slave trading and all that, that is completely legitimate to the Talmudic Jew, because we are just mere animals to be used, okay? So, here again, proof that what Christ condemned, the tradition of the elders, in a world that we call Christian, that we supposedly believe in the Bible and its teachings and the God of the Bible, and yet the life we lead today could not be further from that. So he explains this loving of our enemies very succinctly in there and blows it away. The church teaching is just completely antithetical to the truth. He also says here, Christianity, or followers of Christ, Christianity has always believed in the judicious and lawful use of violence. These are forms of love. Christian empires are based on it. And violence is found throughout the Old and New Testaments. Amen. Amen. Non-resistance to evil is a heresy because it promotes the toleration and acceptance of evil. Our whole existence is based on our resistance to sin. Now remember, sin is violation of God's law. That's sin. Not having wicked thoughts, not masturbation, not looking at a porn magazine or a girly magazine or having lewd thoughts about the girl next door. That's what the church world teaches, because those are items that are outside of the teachings. But the church world wants you to feel guilty so that you'll show up next Sunday, sit in the pew, listen to the boring sermon, but more importantly, you'll throw money into the coffers so that the church can continue, the organization called the church. Okay, so our whole existence is based on our resistance to people who violate Yahweh's law. Violence is necessary in a world drowning in evil, but it must be used for the right reason. Have the correct target and be informed by the proper disposition of soul. S-O-U-L, soul. All right, so again, violence for the sake of violence, or violence for the sake of personal gain or personal vengeance, that is not condoned. Violence in the protection of innocence, that's what it means here, for the right reason. And the correct target, that's saying that you must aim that violence at actual perpetrators, actual people who are guilty, not just some bystander or whatever like the mobs do now, like these so-called Black Lives Matter, which are nothing more than Jewish-led mobs of people attacking predominantly whites. Okay, so again, indiscriminately pulling people aside because of the color of their skin and beating them and sometimes raping or murdering them, that is obviously not the correct target, and they don't even have the correct reason. It's all emotionalism being foisted on the world by the Jew, just as the Jews stirred up the crowd to murder Christ. Remember, nobody, including the Romans, wanted to see Yahshua crucified. Nobody did. Pontius Pilate did not. Pontius Pilate's wife certainly did not. Nobody wanted it except the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Jews of that day, because he exposed them for the frauds and liars that they are. Just as today we expose them, and anybody else that exposes them is lambasted in the media, they whip up the crowds, the Jews themselves admit that they would use the dark races because they are typically lower IQ, very emotional, and very easily persuaded by Jewish influence to do their bidding. And again, I'm quoting Jewish authors and Jewish sources when I say that. So people that have a hard spot with that, well, that's your problem, not mine. He continues on here, those piously promoting the facile, love your enemies, mentally are justifying their own cowardice and uncertainty. Love is not synonymous with indulgence, which is what they're trying to get us to do. They're trying to say, you don't have love unless you indulge all of these criminals, this criminal activity within government, criminal activity within law enforcement, criminal activity within the military, criminal activity within our campuses and colleges, criminal activity in our society as a whole. All right? It was the Jew who was instrumental in getting us to do away with the death penalty. Because as a nation of Christ followers, we implemented biblical law. I can remember as a boy, if you were found guilty of rape, the execution was the punishment. If you were guilty of kidnapping, execution was the punishment. Guilty of murder, execution. But now we don't do that, okay? Homosexuality, when I was a boy anyway, didn't always lead to a death penalty, but it certainly wasn't condoned. If you were going to practice that heresy, that aberration of nature, you did that in great secrecy because it was obviously counter to the laws of God. Even though the Bible often says that it is a capital offense. Because it's blasphemy. Okay? Blasphemy is a capital offense. Blaspheming the living God, meaning disobedience or teaching others to disobey God's law. So again, you have chaos in this world today. Why is that? And I'll go back again to the 1990s when I saw that bumper sticker on a brother's car as he was in the post office, and it said, God's law or chaos. I'll never forget it. And I waited for him in the parking lot because I liked that bumper sticker, and we became fast friends, and that's how I was introduced to Pastor Pete Peters and the Identity Message. So this is the divine timing or divine intervention in a person's life, because I was led by the Spirit to wait for whoever's car that was because of that bumper sticker. You see how something small like that can make a huge change in a person's life? And all it said was God's law or chaos. Well, you're living it, folks. How does it feel? All right, you got a choice this world. His law, his way of doing business, or chaos. Chaos as you see in all of the kids that are addicted to opiates. And all of the soldiers that are addicted to prescription drugs. 50% of our military is on a prescription drug. Did you know that? 50%. And a lot of it is antidepressants, etc., which have a side effect of what? Oh, that's right. Suicide. And guess what? Over 22 U.S. military personnel take their own life every single day. Every day, over 22 military personnel take their own life. We lose more military people to suicide than we do to enemy bullets, even though we have soldiers all over this earth where they should not be, implementing Jewish hegemony over the world economy. That's all our military is doing out there. Even with that and all of the nasty things that they've done in the name of the Jew, it's still taking their own life that reduces the military ranks more than actual combat or acts of terrorism or anything else. Even though virtually every act of terrorism is an act of a government. There are no actual cells of terrorists doing anything out there. I hope folks, at least here on our channel, our platform, understand that. Okay? There are none. Acts of terrorism are committed by imposters posing as either Arabs or any other sect out there committing these crimes against people, such as Oklahoma City and 9/11, the Branch Davidians at Waco, Randy Weaver's family, Oklahoma City, all of it, orchestrated by elements of the government and military, every one of them. I've interviewed Cody Snodgrass, who was a CIA contractor, who admitted that he was approached to commit the bombing of Oklahoma City Murrah building. Okay? He was offered $1 million, and this is back then. $1 million was a whole lot more money than it is today. As an individual, $1 million to lead and pull off the bombing of the building. Okay? As a CIA contractor. And we've interviewed many other people, Colonel Don de Grand Pre, Colonel Francis Schaefer, not Francis Schaefer, but Farrell, John Knight, Stephen Barry of the Resistor magazine, the Special Forces Underground. Okay? We have interviewed plenty of people just on this platform alone who have attested to the fact that elements of our government and military have been behind the worst acts of mass murder and terrorism in the world. So, again, if you get your government under control, you would take care of all this. So we need to take the money and power away from our centralized government, because centralized government, especially large centralized government, is a tool of communists. Everything centralized is a tool of communism, okay? Because Yahweh teaches local control, just as the libertarians talk about. All government should be local, because that's where you have the most oversight, at the local level, where you can actually see the effects of what's going on, see for yourself who's doing what to whom, okay? 95% of all government should be right there at the local level with your input and your control. Not this massive centralized corporations, centralized banking, centralized government, centralized medical care, centralized media. You know, 90-some percent of the media in this world is controlled by, especially here in the United States, controlled by just five corporations. It used to be six, now it's only five. So five corporations, and again, the corporations run by who? The executives at the top, only that small, tiny percentage at the top. So you have a very small number of corporations who are run by a very tiny portion of them at the very top. So all you have to do is get the heads of those five corporations to agree on something, and most of you will never see the light of day on the news stories that say something different. Just as the censorship being done in the United States, look who's committing it. Every one of them is either a Jew or controlled by Jews. Every one of them, including Google, Wojcicki with YouTube, Facebook, Zuckerberg, they're all Jews. So it's amazing to me that people can't figure this thing out. How could you not figure it out? How can you not see the Jewish control in this country? And again, that's why they hated Christ, the Aryan Christ, the white man Christ, who walked this earth as an Adamic man and taught the world the truth about what the Jew was up to. They detested him for that. Angel says here, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee." Okay, this is alluding back to when we were talking about abortion being condoned within the Talmudic teachings of the Jews, but it is not condoned within Scripture. So the prophet Jeremiah, as well as other prophets, but Jeremiah tells us here in chapter 1 that Yahweh knows us before we were even formed in the belly. So obviously at the time of conception, you are an individual in the eyes of the Almighty. But the Jew, of course, is antithetical to that because they are antichrists. When the Apostle John said in his day that there were many antichrists already here, what do you think he meant? Okay, the church world is always talking about the antichrist, as in a individual. But the Apostle John, the beloved, by the way, his name means beloved. John comes from the same Hebrew word that my surname does, and so does Matt Johnson, and Jones, and Johnston, Jenkins, Apjohn, all of them come from the same Hebrew root, meaning beloved of Yahweh, Yochanan. So the Apostle John, the beloved, said that there are many antichrists already at work in the world. Many, because there were many Jews, as he witnessed them murder the Christ. Okay? They have murdered prophets and murdered truth tellers for a long, long time. Now, that doesn't exonerate the criminals of our own race, because we certainly have them amongst the white race, the Adamic peoples. We have plenty of traitors amongst our own kind. Okay, we're not trying to exonerate them and put it all on the Jew, because the Jew has enough criminal activity that they've already more than welcomed their destruction, according to Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18, that their coming extermination has already been set in stone by the Creator himself, because they are just evil. That's all there is to it. Evil. They can't help it. It's in their DNA. So if you have a dealing with a Jew, you'd better understand who you're dealing with, okay? And don't hand me this, oh, I've got a Jewish friend down the road, it seems just fine to me. I don't care if you do or don't. Christ taught about a people, the Edom, Esau, Pharisees and Sadducees. Today they're called Jews. Because all you got to do is look at the history of these people, and it just leaps off the pages, if it's a true history book, of their criminality and their hatred toward mankind, their hatred towards the God of the Bible. They will pretend and put on a show to convince you, the simpleton out there looking in from the sidelines, that they're somehow magnanimous and philanthropic, when in fact they are not. If you look at their deeds, which is what Christ told us, judge them by their fruits, not their words, not by the images they create through the media and the magazines, etc., but their deeds. Again, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock in London has written a book called The Synagogue of Satan, and I have a copy of that book. That book is a compilation of the crimes of the Jewish people. The entire book is just a listing of their crimes. That's how many they have committed. So if you want a single volume that will give you a long, long, long history of the criminality of these people and the proof of them being Antichrist, just get a copy of his book. And there's other books, trust me. The Myth of German Villainy is one that I find to be quite interesting and very well written by a military man, because of the constant pushing that the Germans were responsible for World War I and World War II, when the fact of the matter is they were not. But again, everything is upside down. Good is called evil. Evil is called good. Okay? Germans are probably one of the most magnanimous people on earth. They certainly are some of the smartest, best engineers, cleanest, and yet they're portrayed as these evil, wicked Jewish Nazis, which, by the way, Nazi is a term for a German Jew, not for a German Aryan, but a German Jew. So the Nazis, or the Jews in Germany who committed crimes, that those crimes are put upon the German people who are Aryan. The Aryan Germans had nothing to do with it, just as in our country today, the Aryan white man has nothing to do with what this Jewish government is doing, because the government is completely controlled by these people. That's why we're bombing the piss out of the Middle East and murdering hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of innocent people at the behest of these warmongers out of Washington and the Pentagon under Jewish influence. Okay? We are the tools. And so the world hates America, which includes the white man, but the white man actually isn't doing it. Just as all this racial tension and crime and everything else, they put somebody's face up on the TV screen, just like this complete aberration of nature, this so-called health commissioner that they want, this Jewish transsexual from Pennsylvania, and they say it's a white man transferred or transgendered to a woman. Well, that's not a white man, it's a Jew. Okay, stop calling him a white person. Stop allowing these assholes to distort the truth and have our race, which is the builders of civilizations and the protectors of civilization, have their absolutely abominable behavior thrown on us. That must stop. World War II should be appropriately called the War of Jewish Aggression, just as the Civil War was the war here in the United States, the War of Northern Aggression against the South. Why? Because the North had already come under heavy Jewish influence. That's why it was going into the industrial age at a rapid rate. It got into all kinds of stuff because of what? Money, the love of money, where the southern states were much more agricultural and living closer to biblical teachings. And the north hated that. The southerners were defiantly Christian, defiantly independent, defiantly white, where the north had already gone over towards hedonism and the love of material goods and money. So it was the war of northern aggression. All right? World War I and World War II were Jewish wars of aggression, both of them. And the use of their control of the media had a lot to do with it. In fact, Mike King has recently done an excellent article, and he's a phenomenal journalist, and he has a website, Real History Channel. Where he digs into the fact that the Jewish media had everything to do with World War I and World War II. In fact, all the wars. They took facts and distorted them so that the media would put out a version of the truth that condemned the people that they wanted us to go to war against, when in fact that was not true. Just as we found out over in the Middle East, that woman that testified in front of Congress about the Iraqis throwing babies against hospital walls and sticking them with bayonets and all is a typical Jewish lie. That female was actually part of the family of the, Kuwaiti, that's it, when Iraq went against Kuwait. She was related to the king or the potentate of Kuwait, and she lied. Made up that entire story, but where is the punishment? See, there's no accountability today. Yahweh's law teaches accountability from start to finish. It doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, what your titles are, does not matter. You commit the crime and you are punished, not fined, punished. Okay? Paying a fine is not a punishment. If it's a minor offense, there can be a fine, like if you break your neighbor's fence, then you should fix your neighbor's fence, okay? In that sense, okay? But we're talking about like rape, murder, kidnapping, treason, pedophilia, organ harvesting, and all of the other sick, nefarious things going on today. Those crimes require punishment. Swift punishment. And we're not doing it. And therefore, that's why we have the chaos. Because the good people are going, what the hell's going on here? The wicked are now encouraged because they can see they can literally get away with murder. Okay, Ralph up in Canada has just posted something here of interest. That same website, radioalbion.com, has done a expose of Trotsky. It's a three-part series, but the fact that Leon Trotsky, who was a Jew and part of the Bolshevik murder and overthrow of the Christian Russian Tsar, that he was a piece of shit murdering refuse of humanity, like all of the Jew Bolsheviks, like Trotsky, Lenin, Stalin, the head of the Cheka, etc. All of them, kikes. Murdering, lying, thieving, devilish, wicked, evil Jews. Exactly as Christ said, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. John chapter 8. Right there in the New Testament that all these people carry in the church. The Christ is warning you about these people called Jews, and the idiots sit there all sermon long, walk out praising, praise the Lord, I've been saved, praise the Lord. How do you praise him? That's funny, in the book it says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Those are the words of the Christ, according to the Gospels anyway. Okay, if you love me, if you worship me, then obey me. And what did Christ say? Obey the commandments of Yahweh. He didn't say nail him to the tree. That's not what he said. And he observed the teachings of the prophets, what you call today the Old Testament. Christ obeyed them. Christ lived that life. He ate the clean food and not the unclean. He was baptized by immersion. Sprinkling water on you does not baptize you, okay? The Greek word baptismo is the same word used when you wash dishes. And the last time I checked, you don't sprinkle dishes. You put dishes down in the water and you clean them. Same thing with clothes. You don't sprinkle your clothes. You submerge them in water. Baptismo. Okay, Christ walked the walk as well as talked the talk. Living example, isn't that what he said? I've come to be an example, a living example for our people. So again, the biggest thing I want you to take away from today is the fact that this whole thing about Christian pacifism is a heresy. Let me get my dictionary open here, because I've come to find out that, thanks to our public school education, our people don't know what a lot of words mean. They have a very poor vocabulary. So heresy, according to the dictionary anyway, any opinions or doctrines at variance with the official or orthodox position. Number two, a belief that rejects the orthodox tenets of a faith or religion. So basically, it's heresy means it goes against the truth or teachings of the church or the scripture. So that's what a heresy is, okay? So this heresy of loving your enemies, or Christian, what they call Christian pacifism. Pacifism means that you're a nonviolent person. You're a pacifist. You know, you people talk about getting a military exemption because you're a pacifist. Back during the Vietnam War, I knew quite a few guys that claimed to be religious pacifists and used that as a reason for getting an exemption from being drafted. It worked for some of them, and some of them it did not work. I guess it was arbitrary and up to the recruiters and the people at the AFIS station. So we have this, again, this heresy called Christian pacifism, and it needs to be done away with because it's a complete lie, like so many other things being taught by the mainstream churches today. And again, that's why I find more men of faith in a local bar than I do in these things called churches today. The whitewashed sepulchers. Sepulcher is a tomb. So whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bodies. So on the outside, they look pretty and ornate. They're usually painted white, or they've got colored glass windows, and they look so all pristine and pious, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. Dead spiritually. And I've been in plenty of churches, especially the Protestant ones. I've been to some of the Lutheran and Catholic as well, but predominantly the Protestant, what they call the Protestant churches. I've been in many of them over the years, and it's true. They are, for the most part, full of dead men's bones. They wouldn't touch the truth of the scriptures if you put a gun to their head. And why is that? Because as two elder Methodist preachers told my buddy Larry and I one time, what you teach in identity, we understand that. We've heard it before, but we would never teach that in our church. So Larry and I asked them, well, why not? If it's true, if you know it's true, then why wouldn't you teach it? Oh, because our church would be empty the following Sunday. How's that for two elders in the Methodist Church? We can't teach the truth because the pews would be empty the next Sunday, meaning the source of revenue, money, would be cut off. It's all about the money. What does the scripture say? The love of money is the root of all evil. All right, a lot of other things going on right now. The Jews in America are hard-pressed to strip us of our Second Amendment rights and our God-given rights to defend ourselves with weapons. I've been contacted by many friends and family members who are irate, and we've all committed to the fact that come and get them. You can have them when you take my cold, dead fingers off the stock and the trigger. That's been my attitude since I was in the United States Air Force. It's my attitude today, and I'll take it with me to the grave. You can have my weapons when you take my cold, dead fingers off the barrel and the stock, because I plan on using them to defend my God-given rights to the very end. Everybody else can do whatever the hell they want. I really don't care at this point, because a lot of people say, well, Dan, we can't resist this takeover by these communists because we're not organized. We don't have an army. You don't need a frickin' army, people. You outnumber them thousands to one. Just as the Russians, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn says in his books, the Russians lamented as they sat in the gulags that they didn't just pick up a hammer or a chisel or a pitchfork, because they outnumbered the Jewish Bolsheviks so badly that they could have fought them with just hand tools and beat them easily. You don't need tanks, rockets, standing armies to defeat evil, people. You just need a will to do it. It's much like the instructors at the gun range. When I go there, they'll tell you, you can learn about a weapon all you want, but if you aren't mentally prepared to use it, you might as well not have it. Because people who are violent will take it from you and use your weapon to kill you. If you're going to carry a knife or a gun or any other kind of weapon, you had better be prepared mentally to use it. I've been preparing myself mentally to defend myself, my loved ones, and my rights since I was a boy. Now, nobody knows what's actually going to happen until the day of your testing. You can think anything you want, but the truth of the matter is you don't know until you're actually confronted with it. Ask any military people that have been thrown into a combat situation, okay? Especially ask them about the very first time. Typically, the response is, it was nothing like what I imagined. That's the first thing you'll hear. That's why military units want combat veterans to be in charge. They want a very high percentage of their army to be combat veterans because they've already been through the shell shock. They've already been through that, oh my God, look what I'm in. Again, anytime you're confronted with violence, it doesn't ever go the way you imagined it to go. Either what the perpetrators are doing or your response to it. Typically, it doesn't until you've actually been through it. You're a combat veteran. It's much like life itself. Think back to when you were young, as I do often, what I thought, what I believed, what I envisioned the world to be, what I thought was going to happen, and then take a look backwards, especially when you get to be my old age. You take a look backwards and see how many times things did not happen the way you envisioned them. Okay, it's the same idea. So if you're not willing to defend your rights, you might as well give them up. You might as well get rid of your weapons right now, sell them before they're confiscated and get some money for them anyway, and maybe buy some food and you might survive. Then again, you might not, because you have no way to defend yourself. not only against the criminals that'll come to steal what you have, but against your own government, who are the biggest thieves and murderers walking the earth, are governments and the armies run by governments. You want to talk about mass murderers, there's your mass murderers and terrorists, governments and militaries run by governments. We the people outnumber them tens of thousands to one. Stop living in fear, start thinking like lions, and prepare to defend yourself and protect the ones you love. As it says in this exhortation by Dr. Johnson, and also by other people that I could quote, I don't have them in front of me right now, but you can't love somebody if you're not willing to commit violence to protect them. You don't love yourself, you don't love your family, you don't love life, and you don't love your freedoms and liberties if you're not willing to be violent to protect them. You don't actually love them. That's just the way it is, folks. That's nature. That's a law of nature. We've got John from Miami on the line. John, welcome to the program.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, John.
May Yahweh bless all of you. May Yahweh bless you as well, Pastor Dan. Speaking of the gun issue here, I live down here with, well, not too far from Pastor Dan, and he currently knows what Pastor Dan knows about a situation that occurred not too long ago between me and someone else. And folks, I'll tell you right now, you better guard your guns. Commander Dan, I don't know if I want to go into that story or not.
Whatever you're comfortable with, John.
All right. I'm pretty sure I'll get criticized here. Folks, I am a young white, I'm a white Anglo-Saxon male. I do have Latino blood. My mother's from South America. She's white. My father was an American. It was all the constitutional ideals I got from my father as a child, and I remember it to this day. Anyhow, there was a time not too long ago where I had four guns, handguns, and I don't have them anymore. My mother felt sorry for my nephew was allowed to live with her. My mother allowed my nephew to live with us, and he has problems. Sadly, my youngest nephew has a very, very, very serious drug problem. He was convicted at one time. He spent 3 years in prison. He's an ex-convict. And not long after he had gotten out, he got a pretty good job down in Florida, down here. Anyway, my mother felt sorry for him, so she thought he could live with us. But I had my doubts anyway, but I kept my mouth shut. It's not my home. Anyhow, just to help him out so he wouldn't have to go from a far distance to go to work every morning, he could live here. Anyway, I told him never, ever, ever, ever to get near my room or my bedroom or my closet, because that is where I had my guns locked up in the safe, and they were locked up. But I look back at it now. I made the mistake, I made the mistake to put the key right in front of the safe, but only for my access and no one else. And I told him time and time again not to ever get near that. Well, There were some problems that occurred within 2 or 3 months, really quick. He stole the generator that we had here, and my mother later on got it back, and the police department asked my mother if she had wanted to press charges on him, and she said no, that she didn't want any problems. Well, he had also taken some of her jewelry, but this was all admitted to me, or my other nephew called me and had said that the younger boy had confessed everything, including stealing my guns. Right now the case is open, and I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be a plea deal.
Plea bargain, yeah.
A plea bargain, which, hey, I'll be upfront with you, I've already agreed to, because I want him to pay me. I want him to pay me $2,500 for stealing. Not too long ago, I spoke with the prosecutor that's leading this case against my nephew. I requested an amendment for an Article 4 search warrant to be performed in his home where he lives with his father. Actually, not too far from Pastor Dan. And the prosecutor said he checked on it and said, no, the guns are probably out in the street anyway. Well, he said probably, but it's like I've had a hunch for quite a number of months. It's as if Yahweh was talking to me. Maybe not. I'm not too sure here. Maybe I'm just paranoid. But I still think he might have one or two of those guns, maybe not, because he is an ex-convict. And he's not allowed to have guns. But now with all this, I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the judge will tell me. Well, this is partially my fault because I left the key in front of the gun safe. But that makes no difference. He knew what he was doing. I don't hear these. I heard excuses. Well, the drugs clouded his brain or this or that. I'm sick and tired of hearing that shit. Excuse my language, Pastor Dan. I know this is your show. I'm sorry about that. But this is how mad I've been with him, and I've basically close to want to disown him and never see him or talk to him again. But getting paid, it's restitution that I'm asking for. But getting paid all that amount of money, $2,500, remains to be seen, but the court date has not been set yet. But folks, my thing here, I came on here to tell all of you, make sure that your guns are never taken away. This little clown, when he did all this when I was not here. I drive tractor trailers across the United States. It was done while I was driving up to that. And that's really sneaky, and that he's a little rat. That's really rattish to do that.
Right.
Because he knew, had I known about that ahead of time, I would have gone right after him. And I'm going to tell you how he was caught. I got the phone call from my other nephew while I was actually in the shower room at a truck stop, taking a shower, and he had told me everything that the younger boy confessed everything to his lawyer while he was there sitting, listening. I don't know what else he confessed, but I was in total shock. I mean, I knew what was going on. I'm pretty sure it was him because a couple of weeks earlier, my mother had told me, and she didn't see it, but she believed and was certain it was him because of what he had done to her. And I told my mother, Ma, I have to prove that. I just can't go up and ask him because I know he'll lie, and he did lie about it. Not one time, but about 4, 5, or 6 times to me.
Yeah.
So I had to find a way to catch him. I went to the police department. And, well, I guess I got lucky. I was able to get the detective in charge, who's a white Anglo-Saxon. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen listening to this program, most of the police in police departments here in Miami-Dade County and so much in Broward County, they are under the employ of a lot of, Latinos, or mainly Cubans, but certainly here in Miami-Dade County. I'm very lucky to get him. But I figure all of them have to be honest. I don't care if they're black or Cuban or white Anglo or Chinese police. I don't care. But I was very thankful to Yahweh Almighty that I was able to get this guy who actually is in charge of that case. Well, I went. He told me to come in a few days later. I went in. We did a phone interview with my nephew. And I was asking him questions, and he confessed, oh, I'd say between two to four times on the phone with his, with the policeman's cell phone or with the police phone that he had recording me on the recording while I was talking on my cell phone. And there was another a lady police officer as a witness, another detective. And that's how he was caught, because he confessed 2 to 4 times that, oh, well, I'm so sorry, Uncle John. Well, I don't know who has them. Well, can you get them back for me? I mean, questions. I asked questions just to get them. Excuse me. I asked questions so they could catch him right then and there, and they did. But because of all this COVID crap and everything, I don't know how long this is going to take for me to go have my day in court. But it took him about 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, somewhere in a month, for him to be arrested, and I was called for that. To believe the detective said he already had him. But this is what this COVID nonsense has done. Closed down the courts across the country, the police and fire police stations. I mean, they don't allow too many police. Even now down here, many of the police stations are only allowing a certain amount of people inside their lobby while there's a line waiting outside. Could you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, could you imagine, had this been done 50, 60, or maybe 100 years ago in this country, I would have done things my way. But no, I would not have killed my nephew, but I probably would have beat the hell out of him and gotten away with it. That's what I think. And that's what I think to him now, but, you know, I just can't do that. I could, but I'm not, because I don't want to spend the day in jail. And that's what I wanted to say, Pastor Dan. But right now I'm not too happy. I know I saw, what was it, Feinstein? Yeah, I read this morning on the news that Feinstein wanted to put some more gun bans out of on some bills that she wants to do. Worse to that effect. It's gotten so bad. It's scary to live in America today. And what the heck is this Biden and this Harris woman, or whoever else, liberal, communist, Democrats, or I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a rhino. I think that sooner or later they're going to come with an excuse or excuses to grab our guns. Could COVID be one of those? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, I have finished, Pastor Dan. That's it.
All right. Thanks a lot, John. God bless, buddy.
All righty.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening to John reminds me of the scripture that says sometimes your worst enemies will be members of your own household, and certainly John is proof of that. Also, a little tidbit of news that I want to share with everybody, quite interestingly, is something that was relayed to me yesterday by members of my family who are in the medical professions. Now, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. These relatives are not low-level people. They are high up in the administration within the medical hospitals and medical schools. Yesterday, I was informed that this particular person could identify at least 6, maybe as high as 8 or 9, high-level staff members who have received this thing they're calling a vaccine, and that they have all exhibited major behavioral aberrations compared to what they were like before they got this so-called toxic vaccine, toxic substance. We can't even call it a vaccine. The substance that they're pushing for this non-existent pandemic. So she has witnessed this herself. Other members have reported the same thing. And it wasn't that long ago we talked about the video where a woman, during the very first issuances of this toxic serum, did an interview and said, "I know I've lost my connection to the living God. I can feel it. I know it. I've lost it." So add that as a double witness to what this personal relative of mine has witnessed within her travels. There are also cases where people are getting this, and many of them are having adverse reactions to it. Many. Not just a few. Many. And you have to remember, it's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and many others who have stated that the incubation period for this toxic serum can be as long as 6 to 8 months. So you're not going to see the worst of it until 6 to 8 months later. So for many of these people, it's a relatively recent experience. And so you need to be on your guard for at least 6 to 8 months, at least that long. The point of it is, and this is what, you know, and I've got family that are taking this thing. So trust me, this is not easily said, because virtually all of us have people that we love and cherish that are falling for this whole scam. But the thing I have to ask is, why would you take the chance, ladies and gentlemen? Why would you take the chance of putting an untested experimental substance that potentially could do you physical harm, even to the point of making you a genetically modified organism, or GMO, because of the fact it is going to go in and restructure your body at the RNA and DNA level? Why would you do that? When our loving Father gave you an immune system that is perfect. It is perfect, ladies and gentlemen. Why would you do that? Why would you take something from a pharmaceutical company who have been known to be liars, almost all of them owned by Jews, by the way, liars and deceivers, producing pharmakia, drugs used in sorcery or black magic, which is what pharmacy comes from, pharmakia. Why would you trust that rather than your own creator? I can't even wrap my head around that. So please, somebody explain it to me in terms that I could understand, because it doesn't make any sense to me. Mankind has walked this earth for millennia, thousands and thousands of years, without vaccines, or what are touted to be vaccines. And we got along just fine. Now, were there outbreaks of certain things due to our poor diets or poor sanitary conditions, such as drinking contaminated water in London that led to things like dysentery and other diseases? Again, as Dr. Bocamp said in his book on germ theory versus terrain theory. Okay, again, you never hear of Dr. Bocamp, the Frenchman, because he taught that the terrain, meaning your body, is more important than the germs, because the germs are everywhere. They've always been here. They will never go away. You can smear that shit on your hands and chlorinate your entire house every day of your life, and you still will not get rid of the germs, ever. They are part of this thing we call Earth and our life. So they will always be around you. You swim in an ocean of germs, and yet you survive because of that beautiful thing within your body called an immune system. Now, what they're not telling you is that you can compromise that immune system by your habits and your diet. and with a compromise, including wearing a diaper on your face, by the way, does impugn on the immune system. To your chagrin, by the way. So, you can have bad habits and diet that will put you at risk to these germs, and a vaccine is not going to protect you. Your bad habits and your diet are what your problem is, but most of you are too lazy to look into it, and you are too lazy and selfish to make the changes that are necessary. And that, my friends, is a fact. I can say that because I've got enough years under my belt now, and I've seen enough of this world that I am stating it from a position of knowledge, not belief, not hearsay, but my own testimony of what I have witnessed, as well as the testimony of close friends and relatives over the years, and the testimony of my instructors in the natural health classes. And everything that they taught me, I tested. Over the years, I've put every single thing that they taught to a test in my own life to see whether it was true or not. And virtually everything that they ever taught was verifiable in life with empirical evidence. Okay? So, again, I am looking at this whole scandemic, even though it's being perpetrated by the enemies of mankind, predominantly Jews, that our Heavenly Father can use reprobates such as this to bring about His will. And you say, well, Dan, what are you talking about? How could a loving God do this to us? Because as your creator, He has the right to test you. He gave you a beautiful body with a beautiful system operating within it, including the immune system, and you have thrown that away to believe a bunch of miscreant cretins in the public arena called medical, so-called medical experts, the media, the government, and the pharmaceutical industry. You have put your trust in that body of liars and deceivers rather than listening to your Heavenly Father. Does He not have the right to punish us for such behavior? I think He does. It says in Scripture that many will fall to our left and right side in Psalm 91, as we witness the plagues come upon mankind, plagues not being foisted on them by evil people, but plagues that they have invited upon themselves. Think about that hard. Nobody's forcing most of these people to get a vaccine. Now, some are making it difficult by shaming, intimidating, or making it a condition of employment. But ultimately, you have the right to say no. You certainly have the right to resist it by either telling them that no, or I will get a lawyer and sue you for violation of my rights. Or as I told my family members, are you going to your bosses and telling them that if you want me to get this so-called vaccination, I want it in writing that you are, one, making it a condition of my employment, and number two, that you will accept all responsibility for any illness or damage done by this vaccine. And if they won't sign that paper, then you walk away from them. And people say, well, Dan, you're asking people to give up careers and pensions and vacation. Well, I guess I am. But what is your life and health worth? Can I ask you that? You see, my father raised me with that. I can still hear his voice in my head. I can still picture him looking at me with those eyes. Danny, always protect your health. Always. Because no amount of money on this earth can give it back to you if you lose it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? My father was a smart man. My mom said the same thing. No amount of money, and certainly not a job, a pension, vacation, or promises of a promotion. None of those can replace your health if you lose it. None. No matter what they tell you. I cannot begin to tell you the stories I've heard of people who ignored advice like that, and then when their bodies started falling apart and they went to these gods, little g gods called doctors and pharmacists and researchers and medical facilities, these idols that they worship, and went to them and said that they wanted to be made better, and suffered for the rest of their life. Because the cure for cancer didn't cure anything. Or the cure for their bad joints and hips and knees and whatnot, and the struggle they went through to have an artificial joint put in. They struggled with irritable bowel syndrome. They struggled with heart conditions. They struggled with diabetes. All of these things are a result of bad habits and bad diet. Every single one of them. That's the amazing thing. Doesn't cost you a damn thing to have good health. Not really. If you pay attention to your diet and your habits and have a little common sense. And, may I say, a little bit of faith. But as our Heavenly Father said so long ago, will I find faith upon the earth when I return? And sadly, not much. Not much at all. So, I think we're going to leave it at that for today. It's enough to ponder and think about, and I know everybody is very, very busy these days. There's so much going on. So many people are distraught. They are concerned. There's a lot of lies, misinformation, even amongst the alternative media. But folks, you need to look within yourselves. It's that one quote that I put out quite often. It says, be the change that you expect the world to be. You be the change that you want to see in this world. So if this world is full of liars, deceivers, miscreants, cretins, then you make the change within yourself that you will no longer be a part of that crowd, but instead you will be a, what the scriptures call, sons of God. That's an Aramaic expression in the Greek. An Aramaic expression that simply means that you will go through life with the attributes of the living God rather than the attributes of these malcontents and misfits that we see in the media, government, banking, etc. They are absolutely abysmal individuals, sick and demented beyond belief. Take no part in it and choose to walk a different path and take care of your own health. Be responsible instead of irresponsible. You know, insurance companies became fabulously large and rich by pushing fear on a people. You see, people who live in a life of faith in the Almighty and common sense, they're not fearful people. And fearful people don't fall for the ploys of the insurance salesman. So the Jew learned a long time ago that if he can just convince you to be afraid of something, he can sell you an insurance policy and make obscene amounts of money. And by the way, speaking of insurance, before we go, I'm receiving word that insurance companies are not paying if you are harmed by accepting this foreign substance into your body. So you'd better check the fine print in your so-called insurance policies. Because if you voluntarily put an untested or experimental substance in your body, they're not going to pay. Think about that long and hard, folks. Because I know a lot of people out there, they like to walk around thinking, oh, I've got Blue Cross Blue Shield. I've got blah, 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 XYZ insurance. I'm good to go. But they don't ever read the fine print on the policy. Never. Again, fooled by what they perceive to be reality when it's not. So a lot of people might think that I'm crazy, but I put my faith in my Father in heaven completely, because I don't trust any man-made system, whether it's called government, hospitalization, insurance. I don't trust any of them. Most of them are run by people with no morals, no character. It's just a way to make money, and they will do everything in their power to not pay when the time comes. Now, sometimes they do pay, but there's quite a few times they do not pay, or they only pay a portion. Quite different than what a lot of you think is going to happen. Okay, so again, you better check your policies, folks, if you're going to contemplate putting this substance in your body. And a lot of stuff is starting to come out equating this serum to the mark of the beast. It has a lot of the earmarks, because what are they saying now overseas in a lot of countries, and it's starting to show up in Canada and parts of the United States? You can't come into the store unless you have it. You can't get on a bus. You can't get on a train. You can't get on an airplane. You can't come into a government building unless you can show you've accepted the experimental serum that changes your RNA and DNA in your body. Does that sound like the mark, the stigma in the Greek language, stigma, the mark of the beast? And what is the beast in Scripture? Government. Remember that old adage? The truth can stand on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. Let that sink in. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We pray that the words will reach the ears that you have meant for to hear it. We hope that it will be digested and absorbed and understood in the way it was presented, and that your name might be glorified and those who come against you would be vilified. We are in perilous times, more perilous than probably any time in history, because of modern technology and the fact that the wicked have risen very, very high, that they are full of themselves, that their pride and vanity will be their undoing as they are being exposed day and night. We pray for the soon coming war against the children of light, against the children of evil. And the fact that you will stand with your sons and daughters in this great struggle, and that these wicked will be tread under the soles of our feet as they are ground into dust and ash and put into the ground where they belong, so that your earth can return to the pristine state that it was in at one time, that truth and honesty and prosperity will return to mankind, as it will with law and order. Your law, not man's law. Forgive us our sins, walk with us, Father. Give us good discernment. Give us a stiff backbone and courage. Take away the spirit of fear. And always protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.